our client, what is it that we would like provinces to take us through on. And this process is a process which is, we take it as part of our oversight, precisely because we, due to the system and the program of Parliament, we are not outside as we would have wished to be, to on the ground, to see what is happening. Our major focus is that we would like to be taken through by provinces on the state of health in a particular province, but it's the state of health in the country which then is then that is in provinces. I not school you, obviously you know that health is a concurrent function, and there's also the National Health Act that then outlined Chapter 4, Section 25, that outlines what then is to be the responsibility of the executive authority and that of the head of the administration. And what is saying there, as much as I'm not a legal guru, but it says the executive member must, and the head of the department must. So it's very emphatic, and we all know that health services are provided at a provincial level. The National Department of Health is to monitor, provide support in ensuring that what is outlined in the National Health Act as services are then provided accordingly. And our responsibility, therefore, is to ensure that that happens. We ensure that through calling you, but also through calling institutions that have been given the responsibility. You will know that in 2013, the Office of the Health Standard Compliance was established, started to function in 2015, and they did. We invited them last week to take us through on their inspections that they have conducted, and as we will then be asking questions as honourable members. Obviously, honourable members will also reflect on that. The Office of the AG did come in front of us, took us through on the situations in terms of how funds have been managed, how programs have been managed, infrastructure, pharmaceutical, and all that in the sector, but also reflect on the state of each province. So here, what we are requesting is an open MEC and an honest reflection of the state of health. I'm saying open and honest because you wouldn't know that at times you are being called by your communities. I've been referred by so-and-so to you. And we then make follow-ups on that. We are written letters by communities. We process them, we send them back to provinces because that's where action in the health sector is taking place in terms of provincial hospitals and districts and clinics in the local. So we wouldn't like that there are things that we are not here to judge you. But we are here to ask questions, we are here to criticize, we are here to, because we also provide that support. But more and above, from our side, is to ensure that our people, because all this exercise is not the exercise just to come here and speak nice, powered English. our people on the ground is to ensure that if they go to a clinic X in Kimberley at 7 o'clock, that clinic opens at 7 o'clock. And if that person is to be serviced, the latest time to go home is 11. So if that is happening, it's fine. If where there are challenges that is not happening, that is okay. So we're not here on a technical presentation. We're here on facts. We're here, we don't want you people to be general, but we're here to ensure that the country doesn't panic. We're here to say, yes, we do have challenges, but this is what we are putting in place to ensure that, and therefore, the Office of the Health Standard Compliance is one of the entities that are assisting government, assisting yourselves as provinces, assisting us in conducting oversight to have a feel of where the challenge is. So, I always, maybe I oversimplify it, but I believe in that, that we're here not for ourselves, but for that ordinary person who is then serviced by a public institution in this country, being a clinic and being a hospital, whether tertiary hospital, whether central hospital, whether provincial hospital, whether regional hospital. So that's where we are. I can see, well, it's quite a team. I'm assuming that all of you are from Northern Cape. Even if you are not from Northern Cape, you're welcome to join. House rules, that is welcoming you. House rules are: phones are to be on silent, please. If you are to answer it, you quickly go out and answer your phone. Presentation is going to be made by the leadership of the national, of the provincial Department of Health in Northern Cape. How you do that depends on you. We're not going to be prescriptive. What we want a presentation that is going to make us satisfied and be able to engage with. It's only honorable members that are to ask questions. For the benefit of those that will be coming for the first time, when we introduce ourselves, we use the mics and we do indicate our name, our surname, which institution you are coming from, and what you are doing there. The only people that are to take photos in the proceedings of the meeting are those that are designated. And if they are here, they will know that they will do that. It's only I will indicate which are those so that we are then not able to be creating a confusion. That is welcoming you in the National Assembly through the Portfolio Committee of Health. My name is Lindelwa Tunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Vuyokazi, who is the secretary of the committee. At the back on my left is Lindo Kuhle, who is our content advisor. Next to her is Yolisa, who is our communication person. At the extreme left is Moses, who is part of the research team. Next to her is Mbali, who is our committee assistant. Then I will hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Then it will be your team and those that are from the department and those that are guests We must know who is here. We must know who is here. Name and surname. Over to you, honorable members.
Dumelang. Nna ke ntate Maisela wa ga Maisela. Ke leloko la komiti ya tsa bophelo. Ke a leboga.
Moleni Sanibonani. Ikamalam. Dingumbulelo Nkonzo. Member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, member of the Committee on Health. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matlibanzi Machafta, a member of this committee.
Over to you, MC. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Fufe Makatong, and I am the MEC responsible for health in the Northern Cape. And with me is a team led by the HOD. I would request that they just also quickly just introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Tembi Mazibuko, and I am responsible for district health services in the Northern Cape Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Stephen Yonkers, the Head of Department for the Department of Health, Northern Cape.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I am Daniel Khaburoni, Chief Financial Officer for the Northern Cape Department of Health. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Lesetja Mabona in the Department of Health Infrastructure Unit.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Dr. Dion Days. I'm the Provincial Medical Director in the Department in charge of clinical services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Ishatu Worku. I'm a member of Northern Cape Department of Health.
Good morning, Chair and Members. I'm Gerald Mento. I'm the Head of Pharmaceutical Service in the Department.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm the Head of HR in the Department of Health. My name is Funeka Polinsiko.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Christine Obrecht from the National Department of Health Infrastructure.
Good morning, Chairman. Chair, Lady, my name is Joseph Oluwole, PMG Manager.
Good morning, I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day Newspaper.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Foster Mohale. I'm the acting spokesperson for the National Health Department.
Good morning, Chair Frank Makua, Office of the Minister.
Morning, Chair and members. I'm Richard Jones, the Kimberley Hospital CEO.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mok Muchumi. I'm the manager in the HOD's office.
Good morning, Chair. Honourable Members, my name is Mkhulu Lindindelo. I'm responsible for emergency medical services.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Marie Eckhart, NHI Project Manager for the Northern Cape.
Morning. Sorry. Morning, everyone. My name is Karagas Kasab, Office of the Deputy Minister.
Morning, Honourable Members. My name is Cindy Lesoldal from National Department of Health.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. What then we will. Oh, okay. Before we, as you're sitting down, ma'am, can you please say who you are?
Mary Jane from Independent Media.
Mary Jane who?
Mpahlele.
No, thank you very much. What we will then, can I establish Do all members have the documents? Members, okay. We will then, MC, hand over to you. Who starts, how you do it, we're not going to be prescriptive. You are the captain of the ship, you will then, okay, over to you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Like I said, the team has been led by the HOD. Mrs. Mazibuko will be leading us with the presentation. I am not sure, Chair, whether you would give me an opportunity to just reflect on issues, even just after the presentation, that I think is important for me to highlight to the Portfolio Committee, but I would prefer to do it immediately after the presentation.
Well, because we said we're not prescriptive, the norm has always been that the political head gives an overview, and then the detail in terms of the presentation will then be done by your officials in the department. Okay.
Thank you. It's okay, Chair. Maybe just to indicate, Chair, firstly, that we appreciate the opportunity to be briefing the Portfolio Committee on areas as identified by the committee. Chair, we have gone through a kind of re-engineering process in the province to look at issues that were mainly raised as challenges by communities in particular when it came to services that we needed to render as a department. And I thought it would be important just to also bring to the attention of the Portfolio Committee some ways that we tried to put emphasis in ensuring that for the, particularly for the 18-19 years and going forward, where we think as a department we would really want to drive and put some more emphasis. And when I joined the department in February, Jefferson, I undertook a province-wide kind of visit where I engaged with communities, with governance structures, and with the staff of the Department of Health. And among the issues that they raised were the staffing issues, the budget that is not sufficient and that always has got a negative impact on the services that we should be rendering. Now, as you correctly indicated earlier, Chair, I just presented my budget speech last week, and through that process we could identify areas that we thought as a department we needed to focus on. And from the pronouncements I made in the budget speech, the first was to ensure and indicate to the community of the province on how best we think with the little resources that we have at our disposal to better the services that the people are deserving. And like I said, with the re-engineering, we had to go back and plan and look at innovative ways to minimize and maximize the outputs that we were envisaging, and we undertook a realignment process, Chairperson, because when I got there the budgets were already ready and we had to look within what we have at that time and realign, and I wanted just to perhaps to appraise the Portfolio Committees on 2-3 areas where we thought we would want to make the necessary difference. And as I'm talking now, Chair, the Office of the Provincial Treasury is in my office trying to assist us, because I had to engage Treasury to begin to assist us in looking at the massive accruals that we've been accumulating as a province that has got a negative impact on services that we would have planned to render in this year in particular.
So I just got an indication that Treasury is in the office trying to assist us to look deeper into the issues. We have embarked on a process to also engage the office of the Premier to get through EXCO to understand that at some point we shall have to look at these accruals and see whether something can just be done to enable us then to make the necessary impact. So that was one part. And the second one was, like I said, to look into the current budget. We then identified a some measures where we thought we shall have to begin to save costs. And in our cost-saving drive, we identified some areas. We had in our budget, like I said, it was already tabled, we had in our budget areas where we thought, where we don't get value for money, we don't even waste our energy on those kind of activities. We at some point had planned for, I'm going to cite one or two examples, where we had planned for to set aside a budget to pay on a monthly basis for storage of decommissioned ambulances. But we were sitting with a challenge at that point where we don't have enough emergency services officers, and we had to take a decision which comes first here, which is important. The storage of the vehicles might be important, but for us, to have more officers to be able to respond in time when there's an issue was more important. So we had to take a decision as a team and say, maybe we need to put aside some of these activities and begin to focus where we think it's a need. That's just part one. We also tried to look at other areas. We are now busy trying to capacitate the pharmaceutical section to ensure, because we were sitting with a challenge that we would have a process where when any facility in the province, when they place an order for medication. Now, the depot, because of the capacity challenges at that point, can only deliver to a central point, maybe at a district level, at a central point. Then from the central point to disperse to facilities, It affected even the timers receipt of medicine. So we've been trying to also capacitate in that area to ensure that when a facility places an order and an order gets dispatched, if it moves from that point, it ends at the relevant destination at a given point. So we've been trying to look at ways within the budget, whilst we engage in Treasury, to try and just maximize whatever we have to try and better the service, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, MEC. Who's the... Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. This is a presentation from the Department of Health to the Portfolio Committee on the state of hospitals in the province. The number of slides we have cover the 18 areas in the table of contents, and as stated, we have listed them according to the request or the terms of reference from the committee. So starting with access to health services, on this slide we are just highlighting the legislative imperative of the Department of Health to provide free access to primary health care, maternal and child, as well as EMS to the uninsured population. And I can just mention, Chairperson, that we have got more than 80% of the population of the Northern Cape being this population that we must service with these services. So that is the number of facilities we have, 159 at primary health care level, 11 district hospitals, and the other three at higher levels, specialized, regional, and tertiary, one of each. Out of the 11 district hospitals, we only have 8 that give us 24-hour service with operational theatres that are functional. So it means for the other three, there's a referral that has to be put in place. And our tertiary hospital provides 32 out of the 37 subspecialties, but what we do is that we try and cluster some of the specialties. So the next five slides, Honorable Chair, we are just showing, we know it won't be possible to read, but that is just the distribution of the facilities to show the spread for servicing our communities. The red crosses are our district hospitals, the orange is the regional hospitals, and the star that is purple is our tertiary hospital, and both of the last two are only featuring in one district each. So this is Francis Barth, and members will see that the congestion of our facilities is mostly in around the capital in the Sol Plaatje district, which is also where the tertiary hospital is located. And in Pixlikaseme district, which is our NHI pilot district, although now we are outside of the pilot phase, we have a good distribution because each sub-district at least has a community health center, and there are two district hospitals in this district. The next one is ZF Mgau, where our regional hospital is located, and that is also around the Upington area. And the second last is Namakwa district. Except for the community health centers, mostly we don't have a lot of clinics in this district, most of the services facilities being in the northwestern side of the district. The last one, which is the district where we inherited the former northwest area that was called Moshawing, that's the northern part of this district, and this is our most rural and poorly a resource district in terms of the number of facilities. As it is in the sub-district, the northern one, we do not have a district hospital, as both of our hospitals are around the same sub-district within 20 kilometers of each other. As far as quality of care is concerned, our hospitals are all striving for 75% self-assessment score, and we had targeted 8 hospitals in the last reporting period, and only one hospital, one district hospital did achieve this, and the others are busy with ongoing quality improvement initiatives. And in complaints management, which is also our important measure for quality, we saw 86% in 2017-18, which was an improvement from 2016-17. As far as medical equipment is concerned, we purchased last year just over 8 million rands worth of equipment, and this was mainly for our clinics, and this year we have 5 million that will be also for clinics. Our hospitals looking within their capital budget to ring fence some money for equipment this year. And we have got a national catalog for health commodities, and this helps us all in the country to follow the same specs so that we do not have instances where substandard commodities are being purchased. And for maintenance, we have got 2 million rand for towards critical medical equipment. At Kimberley Hospital, which is our tertiary hospital, last year we had 40 million through the NTSG grant capital equipment, and slightly less this year, we've got 31 million. And we're using this year for the ICU consoles, and our maxillofacial unit will benefit from a scanner, and cardiac monitors will also buy a range of audiology equipment and wheelchairs where we've got some backlog. for repairs, last year we just had about 12.6 million. It's also less a little but slightly this year to 9.7 for repairs and maintenance. Now, for medicines, the next few slides we show the committee how we are as the province on this aspect. A central depot is located at the province, and that's where the procurement is happening. And there's a national rollout of the Intenda stock management system. It's piloted in our province. We might have had some challenges, but that is being stabilized at the moment. There is an intervention underway, as has been explained by the MEC, honorable members, that there are 5 vehicles that will help us to be more efficient with the distribution of this medication for the turnaround times to be improved. We have an additional number of pharmacy assistants that we want to secure through HWCTA this year, so the process is underway. The National Treatment Solution project, which is called RX dispensing system, is also being rolled out at the moment in the province. And for still improving turnaround times and stock management, the MEC and management have registered on the stock visibility system so that there's proper monitoring and responses when there are stockouts. So for infrastructure planning and maintenance, we have got those different projects which are scheduled projects for regular maintenance. For example, buildings and roof structures, firefighting equipment, HVAC systems, plumbing, laundry, etc. So those are ordinary maintenance that must be always scheduled on a yearly basis. And the infrastructure management projects and infrastructure maintenance projects that are underway according to our annual implementation plan this year are the ones that are listed, and I will not go through each one of the projects that we have planned for the current year, and that covers the next slide as well. So as far as the HR plan is concerned, these slides are just showing what progress there has been in the department towards the improvement of the next cycle of our plan, the 3-year plan for this year ending in 2021. So the DPSA guidelines are being followed in this regard, as well as the fact that we have a dedicated HR planning committee that is running with the process as we speak. So this is a review of the previous plan, and on slide 22, we're just showing the areas that have been covered by this committee so far. So there's good progress. The MEC has set a very tight timeline for the team so that this plan must be finished by the end of this month. As we speak, the teams are busy back at the department. So for district health services, what has been very useful is the use of the WISEN tool, which is the workload indicators for staffing needs, and that helps to determine the skills mix for staff, and the process is being done this week while we are here. The organograms, also the process has a timeline for the end of this month, and to date there's quite a lot that has been done, and it will be finalized by the end of the month as the MEC has instructed. So on the last part of the HR presentation, Chairperson and honorable members, what we have done is to try and show for each hospital by name the number of staff that we have. So for Kimberley Hospital, which is the one that I'll just highlight, in that number of 1623, we have got 52 community service, medical community service, that are still located at the tertiary level, and there's a process underway now to try and decongest or remove gradually this comm service. It probably might take the department 3 years as they vacate, not to be replaced by comm service, but to have proper MOs filling those posts. This way, the community service will go to the periphery where they are actually required. So just to mention the numbers, as the honorable members will see, of our staff then in the different hospitals. Number 10, Douglas Hospital is actually a CHC, but it's the nomenclature that the community are still using to refer to this facility. As far as EMS is concerned and transportation, we have a challenge because of the sparsity of the province, that the travel distances covered by our EMS vehicles are the ones shown on the slide, the furthest or one of the furthest being Springbok, but we also have places beyond Springbok like Port Nolos and Alexander Bay. So one can travel up to 1,200 kilometers from the capital of the province to the furthest part to provide services. So that's just a significant challenge for us as a province, meaning that our operational ambulances have normally a very short lifespan because of the kind of kilometers that they cover. So, for example, we've got 86 operational ambulances, but we plan to increase this to 120 in the short to medium term, and we have only 22 non-emergency patient transporters for the whole province, when actually we could have 56 in the next few months, and 758 is our ambulance personnel. The plan is to increase them, like MEC mentioned, to about 960. This will help us, Chairperson, with improving the two-person crew, which is very important for each of our ambulances. As far as governance and leadership is concerned, the process of appointing community structures has been completed. All our hospitals now have got boards, and we have got 121 at primary health care level and district hospitals. So because of proximity, sometimes one structure is servicing more than one facility. We have a mental health review board that is functional at present, and there's a process to appoint one mental health review board in each district to improve governance in that area that was a little bit vulnerable in the province for oversight. For financial systems and management, we have the budget management improving for district hospitals, and the coordination is still at the province, but there are little teams for each district office to be supported at that level. And procurement for hospitals is done by themselves, but through the district offices, and they just have to do the requisitions. Cash flow management, therefore, is still their responsibilities. The district managers have got delegations, but CEOs are in the process of being finalized. The hospital CEOs have not yet received their delegations. It's the same situation for the regional hospitals, except that they have got their own procurement processes. The capacity is better as one goes up with the levels of the hospitals. So when you get to the tertiary hospital level, it's actually the best situation at the moment because they've got a fully functional finance unit. So this slide is about delegation, chairperson. The CEO at Kimberley Hospital has delegations up to 2 million rand, and Harry Sourty, our regional hospital, has got up to 1 million for tender items, and for their day-to-day, the CEO can sign up to 500,000. At West End, a specialized hospital, they are supported at the province, and district hospitals have got the district manager having delegations up to 1 million for tender and 500,000 for day-to-day. So as far as our referral systems are concerned, the slide is just illustrating that our system strives to be bottom-up, with our baseline being our ward-based outreach teams, school health services, primary health care, the community health centers, and the district hospitals. And then we are referring upwards as the needs would arise. However, as I mentioned, Chairperson, because some of these district hospitals don't have functional theaters, sometimes there's a quicker upward mobility because of the package of care gaps at the lower level. So for risk management, this is the responsibility articulated in Section 38, which is more about the internal controls and internal audit functions and responsibilities of accounting officers and managers. And for this reason, the department has a risk management strategy, a risk management policy, and every unit has a risk register where there are operational risks and strategic risks, what mitigating controls we have, and also who are the risk owners. And these have got to be reviewed on a regular basis. So in last year, the department had a total of 138 risks. Most of these were high risks of obstetrics nature or origin, because we've got most of our cases being cerebral palsy that the department is being sued for, and the lower risks are also less according to the slide representation. Laundry services, every hospital has its own laundry, and some are undergoing upgrades, and partly West Hospital or Prof. ZK Hospital uses Kimberley Hospital for their laundry services. We have for security a company that is providing security services, Defenso. Their contract is for 3 years and will run, its term. And their responsibilities include access control to facilities, safety, government assets and personnel. And the department intends or has already started with the insourcing of security services that's in the plan for the new mental health hospital and all other new facilities. The MEC has given the instruction that this must be in-house services. For corporate services, Kimberley Hospital has the best ICT resources, and it's mostly about having the support staff, the systems, like for example the PAP system, patient administration and billing system, and they will start this year with the HPRS, which is a health patient registration system, to make sure that patients have a unique patient identifier. So it's the same for Dr. Harry Sourty Hospital. Largely, they can stand on their own for ICT. District hospitals have got challenges in the sense that there aren't IT staff, and there's a lot of dependence on the bigger hospitals for IT support. but there is a process underway to ensure that there is upgrading of infrastructure for broadband at these facilities. So for healthcare risk waste, Honorable Chairperson and members, we do have a service provider called Tenolo Waste. Their contract is currently running on a month-to-month basis while SCM is busy with a tender process. And the Office of Health Standards and Compliance have conducted an audit around waste in a few hospitals, and they are going to report back actually on the 21st of this month, and then the department will work on those findings. And infrastructure is busy to make sure that they roll out the improvement of health waste management and disposal. So towards the end then, Chairperson, TB as a committee requested to know our incidents. We have had a slight drop from that number on the screen. However, to test this number, the validity or accuracy, the Department of Health nationally has embarked on a prevalence survey, and they chose a district in each province to check, like in people, population who don't think they've got TB, to test them at random to check whether they are active TB sufferers but unaware of the disease. And our pilot is Francis Barr District. So we still have a big problem with the defaulter rates in the province, standing at 8.6 in 2017, which is a slight increase from the previous year where we were standing at 8%. The big problem in the province is still around issues of alcohol abuse. The budget for TB has been improved, and it stands at 38 million, and this is in the conditional grant, the HIV conditional grant. Most of the money is planned for treatment. We're buying bedaquiline mostly for MDR or drug-resistant TB with this money. And the state of district health and primary health care largely, we have got a number of initiatives here, the Ideal Clinic being the main one because the National Health Insurance is where the country is going. So in this regard, we have 89 facilities that achieved Ideal Clinic status, and a further 25 have been planned or targeted for this financial year. This is out of a total of 162 facilities. So central chronic medication dispensing and distribution is one of the transformation initiatives. And with this one, we have got 44,000 and a half patients that are enrolled, and we targeted another 5,000 for this financial year. We're hoping to close at 50,000. And for the HPRS, we have registered 32% of our population, and we're hoping that we can complete this with the hospitals also coming on board this year. Just for interest sake, Chairperson, we thought to still just show the slide that shows how the province is funded for whatever it is worth, really. 26% is still where we are standing together with the Northwest Province. And when one looks at the sector average of 31%, our 5% shortfall translates to 1.8 billion rand, which there's a lot the province could do to cover its gap. This is the last slide on community health workers. We still employ them through the NGOs, and we're busy now finalizing the call for proposals so that we can put new NGOs with new terms of reference onto contracts. Now, there's training also that will be done once we've done the curriculum for these new community health workers according to the new framework. And the National Department of Health is busy with a process to explore what the implications of absorption would be. Thank you, Shepard.
Thank you, ma'am. Can we then stay in the presentation, but before that, can we allow the member that is just come when we've started to introduce herself?
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for being late. I was not well this morning and just had to go and get sorted out before I get here. My name is Lindy Wilson, and I am a member of this portfolio. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thank you. Thank you, Honourable. Members, is the presentation questions? Honourable Wilson? Honourable Maisel, in that, but Honourable Tembekwe, Honourable Gonzo, you may start, Honourable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know I've just walked in, but I had been through the presentation beforehand. Just principally, I have a couple of questions, and thank you for the presentation. Although I wasn't here when you presented it, I have gone through it, as I said. Several things that we need information on that are not appearing in your presentation, and I hope I haven't missed it while you were talking. Firstly, your specialists. How many specialists have you got in the province? What do they fall under? Are they orthopedics? Are they cardiovascular? Are they pediatricians? Whatever. The number of specialists you have in your facilities, what is your number of specialists per population, whether it's per 100,000 or 20,000 or 10,000? And what are the gaps? Because we're finding in the other provinces there's a severe shortage of specialists, and this is creating backlogs in surgeries, which I think is very, very concerning. So if you don't have that information now, may we ask as a portfolio that is given to us, the number of specialists, where they're based, how many specialists there are in those hospitals, what the surgery backlogs are, that kind of information too. One of the challenges that you have mentioned in your presentation is accruals. And if you can give us an idea what kind of accruals you started the financial year with, because I think that is important. When you start on the back foot, it makes the coming year very, very hard to manage financially. No mention of your regular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If you can give us an idea of what those are standing at. And we have a serious situation in all the provinces at the moment with Medicare claims. Can you give us an idea of what the value of the claims are that you're facing at the moment and how many cases those are, what you've paid out recently and what still has to be paid, and which of those are court orders? Thank you, Chairperson. That's all for me.
Honourable Maisel.
Thank you, Chair. Let's start with one question. Do you have a CEO, a financial person, a CFO? Because there is nothing financial on this presentation. Maybe it is somewhere it will be available some other time. There is nothing. So wondering what we are basing our arguments on, because everything is based on budget and budgetary things here. So maybe it's just an oversight. It will be corrected. Yeah. The tertiary hospitals provide 32 out of 37 auto specialists or whatever, although not all led by subspecialists e.g. respiratory medicine and so on, diseases fall under general medicine. Can you explain what this is all about? I was trying to figure out what it is all about, and I can't make head or tail of it. Pharmacies and medicine, slide 11. What equipment was bought? A 2 million service provider for critical medical equipment. Which equipment? And why should he be paid 2 million for what? For in case one machine that is unknown is broken or what? I mean, it has to make sense to us why you are paying good money for something. If it makes sense it's a retainer and the machines are worth more than 2 million and they need to be functional at all time and he needs to replace them immediately and not have them idling, and you have the necessary staff, skilled staff using the machines, then it makes sense. But maybe just explain that. Money is allocated for equipment. What or which equipment? It's just money that is under slide 11 or whatever. That's just money, and don't know how much money is allocated to which equipment. It's just money allocated to equipment, and that does not say anything. Which equipment at Kimberley Hospital is maintained for 12.6 million? That we need to know. That's why we need the financials here to tell us what you spend the money on and what for. Have you got enough competent pharmacists? Do you have stockouts and expired medicine problems? If you don't have, okay, fine, well and good. But if you have, let's get to know what nature of challenges that there, and we appraise ourselves of that. Have you got capacitated pharmacists, pharmaceutical centers, and personnel? If we talk about pharmacies and pharmaceutical centers, maybe like dispensaries in hospitals, do we have really state-of-the-art and functional facilities with capacitated functionaries? Infrastructure, that's like slide 18 does not inform us properly about maintenance, except that 5 lifts at Kimberley Hospital have been replaced since October 2017. It's almost October 2018, and you are refurbishing 5 lifts. That's a very long time. Can you explain why this is dragging on and on and on? It's a never-ending type of thing. I mean, if you refurbish a lift, in a month you could do it, even if you have to order parts from Japan or Hong Kong or China. So maintenance projects, no monetary works attached to, no timeline, no time frames. All that slide 19 and slide 20, the same. It's just no monetary costs attached and no time frames. It's just maintenance projects been done. We are maintaining things. And we don't even know what projects are there, just maintenance projects. So that's slide 19 and 20. Slide 21, there is no plan outlined here. As slide 21, 23, 22 and 23, they are the same. It looks like there's no plan outlined in those slides. Maybe you can explain. EMS, you have 86 operational ambulances and 758 personnel. Please explain this. Maybe it's a typo mistake. That is slide, it should be 24 or something, I'll check. I mean, it's under EMS, you have 86 operational ambulances and 758 personnel. I think others accompany the driver, and load them so that they don't go empty. And so, right, governance, almost all CEOs are acting. How come? I mean, almost all of them. And if there are 11, 8 are acting, there must be something very weird here that almost everybody is acting. Maybe they can't stand the heat in the kitchen. It's too hot. Do you think this method of doing things is correct? That's slide 31, where somebody is doing some work like the CEO, but there is no delegation of powers or something like that, and then somebody in the province or something take care of that. Maybe if it works for you, it works. And maybe that's why there are no financials here, because who is going to bail the lion, let alone a cat? So if we could get a clear explanation of that, that's fine. New mental hospital, is the CEO acting? Is the acting CEO have no proper, I've already mentioned that. There's supposed to be a big hospital that you came here and explained to us about. I don't know whether it's mentioned here, whether it is completed, is functional, and everything is now sorted out. Is there something to crow about? And we would like to hear that. Your referral system is a nice triangle. I don't know whether it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I don't know. But it's a very nice triangle that doesn't tell me much, as much. It's maybe if you can populate that and say on the basis this is going up and so on according to needs. So we will be happy. First, slide 37 is just a plan. Is it just a plan or is it functional? Slide 38, you have more high risk than others. And who owns obstetrics risk? You said previously that the risk must have owners and timelines and all sorts of things. That's a nice book-like type of presentation of risk. It's always in every book, they write it that way. But this one seem to be deviating, because maybe you can explain who's the owner of that risk and what are the timelines according to your nice sketch up there, that risks are like this and this is how they are managed and all sorts of things, so we can be on par with you. Every hospital has its own laundry, although a few of them are undergoing upgrades. That means they don't have laundries. You outsourced the service when they are going up upgrades, or what does it mean? So we are happy that you have insourced and every hospital has got its own thing. But if they are being maintained, how long does it take, and how much does it cost? And are they dysfunctional during this? Because it's not one or two, it's just a few. A few can mean half of them, or three quarters, or whatever. Oh no, it wouldn't be. If it's a few, they would be less than half. So more than one. So let's get a solution. Security is outsourced. Why? Well, there are perennial reasons why security is outsourced. We'd just like to hear your own version why you're outsourcing it. Now, the robots, it looks like you say that you are looking at NGOs to deal with this. I was thinking that it is the insourcing type of thing. We do it ourselves instead of giving them. Actually, they were they were with the NGOs. Now, when we turn them into robots, we are bringing them in house, isn't it? I got baffled there. Maybe with explanation, I'll be a little bit clearer. Thank you. I think the rest will just be academic questions. No use. Thanks.
Thank you. I remember. Thank you very much for the presentation. Unfortunately, the slides that I have here are not numbered. So for me, it's going to be a problem to say pay slide, whatever, but I've got only two to ask about, and then when I come to those slides, I'll be able to specify exactly what was it that was discussed. I'm going to concentrate firstly on the OHSC report, referring specifically to the average percentage outcome score per domain and referring to leadership and corporate governance, because it's very important. If there is no leadership or if there are problems in corporate governance, then the rest will always be a problem. And then here there is, they say the lowest average hospital performance score was for the domain leadership and corporate governance, which was 31, which was derived from 13% and 17% respectively. To say, can you explain to us what are the contingency plans to try to cap this, to improve this comment from at least 13, 17 to at least 50%? That is the first one. And number two, it's in connection with the clinical leadership, and that also has got an impact on leadership, because it's about clinical leadership. Even though the average subdomain score is at 56%, which is more than 50%, but the worrying deficiency that are noted under this specific aspect is that mention was made that no job descriptions for departmental stroke section heads. If there is no job description, my question is, how do you choose leadership? Are there no job descriptions? And then why do we have leaders? What is it? What informs them on their daily duties to be performed? This is very worrying. Like I said, it's one of the deficiencies that were noted by the OHSC. So I would like some clarity on that, because it also leads to the clinical management of priority health conditions, where the average subdomain score was also less than 50%, and it's recorded as 36%. Moving forward, yes, pharmaceutical services, though the average subdomain score is above 50, but there are some deficiencies noted here that needs to be attended to. Yes, there can be some other plans that you have outlined in connection with taking this aspect to a better service to be delivered. But physical stock for medicine and medical supplies not corresponding with the inventory management system. How is that possible? This has got to be right. There should always be an element of correspondence between medical supply and what is in the record itself. So
and also leading to the other deficiency that is noted, that stock system not showing minimum, comma, maximum, and reordering levels of medicines and medical supply. It's very important. It's the basics in actual fact. The basical forms of functionings, the correct functionings of pharmaceutical services. So I would like to know how are you going to start correcting this mentioned two deficiencies. And the other one that I've also noted here is the disaster preparedness. How prepared is the province to handle the disaster situation, should there be one? Because they said disaster management plans were either not available or outdated, which obviously means, though you can have policies of information that are there, there is no reflection, there is no going back to look into what is it that is existing. So an element of monitoring, evaluation, and sustainability, or a change into other aspects that are working or not working, is not done. And this also refers us back to leadership problem in the province that needs to be attended to. How prepared are you to handle the disastrous situation? Well, mention was made, but I'm going to repeat it. The CEO position, the acting positions. If a person is acting, this has got also an impact into the daily work situation, how that person is able to discharge any other role or any other work that is expected of him. When is this acting position going to be changed to a permanent? And I would like to ask specifically to say, security service, a new contract has been signed from November 2017 for outsourcing. Why was it not converted to insourcing? It's November last year. And just the reason, why was it done? And what about the cleaning services, gardening, including catering services? Are they outsourced also? If they are outsourced, when can they be insourced, and what are the reasons for that? Thank you. Honorable Gonza.
Chair, thank you. Mine is all based on the front page. A mention has been made already, but I just want about the 8 of the 11 district hospitals, which provide 24-hour operating theater access. I just wanted to find out about the if are there any challenges or experienced in these hospitals, and when responding, if you could link the operation of the hospitals to the referrals to both the regional and the provincial hospitals, you know, because they're supposed to be linking. And are there any hassles in as far? I know for a fact that we have a jam session sometimes, and abahlali, they really don't see it necessary to start at the primary health care or clinics and things like that. If there are any challenges regarding that in your response, please. And at slide number 5, I'm more on the safety and health hazards about the infrastructure planning and maintenance. I just wanted the clarity, because here you talk 5 lifts and you talk 4 lifts. Is that 9 altogether, or is the 4 of the 5? Just clarity on that. I'm not sure what title it is this, because it's not really paged, but it's under all of the 14 hospital boards that are functioning. That have been appointed. All 14 hospital boards and 121 of the PHC structures have been appointed. The way I interpret is that the 121 PAG structures is 121 of the 200. I'm making an example. And then if that is the case, because it says here 14 hospital boards and 121 of the PHC structures have been appointed, the boards. So if you could just talk more on that one, then I will have clarity. I will have had clarity on that. I'm not going to talk about the CEOs that are acting, because my colleague has also mentioned, spoken to that. But in as far as the hospital boards are concerned, it's good to have hospital boards, but it's one thing to have hospital boards, but it's another to have them functioning, you know, and there's always problems with the hospital boards at the hospitals, where you find you have the board, but it's actually the hospital is the board, the job of the board is run by someone else. So if we just get clarity on that one, is it all fine with all the 14 boards or not? Mental health, sir, a review board, and plans underway to establish one in each of the districts. That has been, I'm not going to labor on that one, but I can only ask for the time frames. If we say underway, then we attach time frames in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just some few comments. In terms of the emergency services, one would have appreciated if, as much as you say you are going to increase the number, but you're silent on training. Remember that as the country, we do have that challenge. You are completely silent on that. The other one is on slide 47 on Ideal Clinic. You the presentation MEC is very general around that. You're not specific. Tell us in which district these clinics, which are Ideal Clinics. In District A, these are the ones that are on gold, these are the ones that is one that is on platinum. In the other district, we don't have any, because we don't want you to live here with us not having a picture of what is happening, because when we are to follow up, we must follow up being empowered. Same applies with CCMDD.
which district is doing well, concentration of patients, and which outlets are you using? And are you reaping fruits on the CCMTT in terms of waiting period? I think that is the... On page 43, you do say that the support required to district, and there is no IT staff. I got a return away for the young people that are more now on technology. Are you trying to say in Kimberley, you don't have any young people that are qualified in the IT who don't have work? Have you made a research? I'm raising this because it's a 21st century where everything is about technology. So I think it's unacceptable that you say there's no IT staff. Have you made some strides to check district by district? Go to institutions of higher learning. You do have one. Go to your high schools. Because we are at the year. You don't have unemployed graduates in Kimberley. That some of them you may bring them in and empower, take them through on IT, those that have got a potential to be empowered. So that for me is unacceptable. The last one is that you were called here sometime on Kimberley Mental. You are very silent. In fact, you are just a... Unfortunately, you are not there. You were not there. But in leadership, you can't say I was not there. You are just silent. I was expecting that you will take us through, because that, I may be wrong, also affects your accruals, your whatever. And it's really not acceptable that you can just be quiet on that. Because that is a hospital in our understanding. The last one is that I don't know whether you are going to be able to do that in terms of the staffing. We must know in the, which slide is that? That says the X number of people that, we must know which categories in that clinic. How many professional nurses? How many people that do administration? How many are there for the support services like general assistance? We must know. We can't just have a blanket number. If maybe you don't have, you won't be able to give us that information now, we'll indicate when we are expecting that MEC, because we must have that. Because remember that after we've met you, we are going to produce a report. We are also going to go to the National Department of Health to say this follow-up, but we are going to monitor. And we can't monitor on a report that is general, because it is really going to, same applies with TB. So categorize, tell us, TB, who are mostly affected? Is it young people because of what? The mental challenges outside the mental institutions. But how many years you came here, but is there any improvement? The last, remember that we called you to want to know the state of mental challenges in the province. Is there an improvement? So that we are then able to when we make observations, we are able to say, oh, there is an improvement here. So I think it's, those are the issues. Some of the issues have been raised by Honorable. Yes, your document is a bit, there are slides and pages in terms of numbering that are very, I think that's what Honorable Tembekwaye was saying. No, that they are not numbered. It's only that I don't know what has happened there. Wait, I'm thinking it's the printer. What we will do, we'll just give you 10 minutes for you to sort who is to answer where. Please, the response, and where you think that you don't have any information, be upfront and say, we don't have any information here, but we are committing ourselves. We will then give you when the time frame for you to submit that. All right, just 10 minutes.
Comfort free. How about you? Thank you.